From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Voice of Indonesia with the news, first the headlines. Tourism Minister says 2022 Mandalika MotoGP to go on with travel bubble. And United Nations chief condemns deadly Saudi-Iran coalition strike in Yemen. Now the news in detail. The 2022 MotoGP Mandalika event at the Pertamina Mandalika International Street Circuit Central Lombok West Nusa Tenggara will continue to apply the travel bubble policy. It was said by Tourism and Creative Economy Minister Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno, as reported by Antara on Friday, January 21st. He noted that the government has declared that the show must go on by preparing a travel bubble that is the best practice to follow. This has been followed for crew members and racers during a similar earlier event. He has noted that no special treatment will be given to racers, crew members, and officials that participate in the most prestigious motorcycle racing event in the world. The Ministry of Communication and Informatics has made assurance that 5G services for the G20 presidency in Indonesia will be optimized in order to support the events maximally. As quoted by Antara, Director General of Information and Public Communication of the Ministry of Communication and Informatics, Usman Kansong, on Friday, January 21st, said that the ministry has made preparations for providing the 5G experience for the G20 event. The ministry is striving to ensure that all G20 venues in dozens of cities that have been selected are able to experience 5G services. In terms of infrastructure, the Ministry of Telecommunication and Information Accessibility Agency, or BACTI, will be tasked with ensuring no problems with the physical infrastructure in providing communication services ranging from the base transceiver station, or BTS, to fiber optic networks that will be prepared optimally. To this day, there are high school graduates who cannot pursue higher education due to the high cost involved. Head of the Financing Service Center of the Education, Culture, Research and Technology Ministry, Abdul Kahar, said as reported by Antara on Friday, January 21st. He also said education cost has become one of the challenges for people who wish to enter college. However, he has also explained that the prevalence of university scholarships for bachelor's degrees has become their hope to continue formal education. There are still high school graduates who possess academic talent but hesitate to choose the best university, especially if the university is located in the capital city, as that would prove costly. The Presidential Staff Office, KSP, echoed its support to the Halal Product Assurance Agency, BPJPH, for issuing halal certifications for 10 million micro, small, and medium enterprises, MSMEs. The KSP will help in conducting coordination with the Ministry of Cooperatives and SMEs and Ministry of Finance to obtain valid MSMEs data. It was said by Deputy 3 of KSP, Panutan Sulendra Kusuma, on Friday, January 21st, as reported by Antara. The data will complement MSMEs data in the BPJPH PH, as it is easier for banks to provide verification. The data he cited came from the Productive Aid for Micro Enterprises or BPUM, Smallholder Business Credit or KUR, and the Ultra Micro Credit Distribution from the Government Investment Center, PIP. Now we move to international news. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres condemned airstrikes by a Saudi-led coalition in Yemen on Friday, January 21st, that reportedly killed at least 60 people in a detention center in the Houthi-held Saada province. As reported by Reuters.com, January 22nd, Guterres spokesperson Stephane Dujarric explained further deadly airstrikes had been reported elsewhere in Yemen, with children among those killed. Dujarric further said in a statement that an airstrike on telecommunication facilities in Hodeidah has also significantly disrupted vital internet services across much of the country. He also said the Secretary General calls for prompt, effective, and transparent investigations into these incidents to ensure accountability. Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and his U.S. counterpart Antony Blinken have held what they called frank talks to try to reduce the chance of a wider conflict in Ukraine. As quoted by BBC.com January 21st, Sergei Lavrov repeated denials that a huge Russian force assembled near Ukraine's borders would be used to invade Ukraine. Meanwhile, Antony Blinken said America will respond severely to any invasion. Pro-Russian rebels control large parts of eastern Ukraine since a ferocious war erupted nearly 8 years ago. Some 14,000 people were killed and at least 2 million fled their homes before fragile peace agreements were brokered. The US and its allies have threatened new sanctions if the Russian military takes action. The US government said on Friday, January 21st, it will suspend 44 China-bound flights from the United States by four Chinese carriers in response to the Chinese government's decision to suspend some U.S. carrier flights over COVID-19 concerns. As reported by Reuters.com, on January 22nd, the Transportation Department stated the suspensions will begin on January 30th with Xiamen Airlines scheduled Los Angeles to Xiamen flight and run through March 29th. The decision will cut some flights by Xiamen, Air China, China Southern Airlines, and China Eastern Airlines. Well, listener, I'm Putri Safitri Adela. That's the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The first news comes from West Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. The West Nusa Tenggara Provincial Government, together with the West Lombok Regency Government, are ready to beautify the Giri Menang Square Gerung Roundabout to welcome the MotoGP event at the Mandalika Circuit on 18th to 20th of March 2022. West Nusa Tenggara Governor Zulkifli Mansyah inspects the Gerung Giri Menang Square or GMS Roundabout with the West Lombok Regent Fauzan Khalid on Jalan Bypass Zainuddin Abdul Majid International Airport in West Lombok on Tuesday. Zulkifli Mansyah said that apart from the GMS Gerung Roundabout, the bypass road from Mataram City to the Mandalika area in Central Lombok Regency will continue to be arranged and dressed up ahead of the MotoGP event. Meanwhile, West Lombok Regent Fauzan Khalid said that one of the focuses of West Lombok is to beautify and organize the Gerung Bypass Roundabout as the gateway to Mataram City and the Mandalika area. The next news comes from Denpasar, Bali. The Upaya Indonesia Damai UID Foundation established an integrated Bali campus in collaboration with the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, Sloan School of Management, and Tsinghua University Southeast Asia Center. The chairperson of the UID Foundation, Dr. Suyoto, in his written statement on Tuesday, said that UID will be a forum for various activities to facilitate the birth of innovation and the development of human resources so as to help accelerate the achievement of sustainable development goals at the national level, regional, and global. The UID campus, located in Bali, will be inaugurated at the end of 2022 to coincide with the holding of the G20 conference in Bali. Bali was chosen as the location for the campus because of the spirit to participate in preserving the natural beauty, the nobility of culture, and the real practice of Trihita Karana philosophy that lives on the island of the gods. The latest news comes from Sleman, Yogyakarta. The Sleman Regency Government Special Region of Yogyakarta made a regulation concerning home hours or children's rest hours to prevent street crimes involving school youth. The socialization, which took place at the Sleman Regency Regional Secretariat Office on Monday, was initiated by the Sleman Regency Regional Secretariat's Community Welfare Section in collaboration with the Sleman Regency Office of Women's Empowerment, Child Protection, Population, and Family Control. The head of the welfare section of the Regional Secretariat of Sleman Regency, Mustadi, hopes that the socialization will help open the horizons of youth in channeling more energy that they have in a positive way to support the Sleman movement to create creative youth. And listener, that was news from across Indonesia. We begin today in history with the event of January 22, 1905, Bloody Sunday in Russia. Bloody Sunday was an incident on January 22, 1905 in St. Petersburg, Russia, when a peaceful demonstration was carried out by a group of unarmed workers to deliver a petition to Tsar Nicholas II. The shooting was done by special troops of the state. The shooting did not happen in the palace square. Bloody Sunday resulted in serious consequences for the Tsarist regime, namely the loss of popular support for the state. The event that occurred on Sunday is considered to be one of the important events that eventually led to the Russian Revolution of 1917. The total demonstrators who died in clashes that day was uncertain, but Tsarist officials recorded 96 dead and 333 injured, while anti-government sources claimed more than 4,000 died. It was estimated still on average around 1,000 killed or injured, both from gunfire and being trampled during the panic. Other sources recorded that the official estimation was 132 dead. The next event was January 22, 1903, the birthday of the national hero Dr. Supomo. Supomo is known as the architect of the birth of the 1945 Constitution along with Muhammad Yamin and Sukarno. Supomo was born in Sukoharjo, Central Java on January 22, 1903. Supomo, who comes from a cleric family, had the opportunity to continue his education at ELS or Europese Lager School in Boyolali 1917, Mulo or Mir Udgebreid Lager Onderwijs in Solo 1920, and completed his vocational law education in Bataviasch Rest School in Batavia in 1923. When the independence movement occurred, Supomo participated in the activities of activists. Supomo passed away at a young age due to a heart attack in Jakarta on September 12, 1958, and finally he was buried in Solo. Last event was January 22, 2006. Evo Morales was installed as the first president of Bolivia, coming from an indigenous Indian origin. Juan Evo Morales Ayma is the president of Bolivia, who was installed on January 22, 2006 and became the first indigenous person to serve as head of state since the Spanish colonization more than 470 years ago. Morales was the leader of the Movement for Socialism political party that was involved in the gas war, along with many other groups that are usually referred to as social movements. And listener, that's today in history.
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forcom, the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen.Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Come back and call him out to me.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesia successfully cuts 10.37 million tons of power generation carbon emissions. Indonesian Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources noted the power generation sector in Indonesia was able to cut 10.37 million tons of carbon emissions throughout 2021. This was conveyed by the Director General of Electricity of the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Rida Mulyana, in a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday. The reduction in carbon emissions from the power plant reached 210.37% of the target set last year of 4.92 million tons. As a comparison, in 2020, the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources is targeting a carbon emission reduction rate of 4.71 million tons. For 2022, the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources targets to reduce carbon emissions of power plants by 5.36 million tons. In order to reduce carbon emissions, the government is committed to promoting the energy transition towards carbon neutrality by 2060 or sooner. The Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources has also developed the principles of implementing carbon neutrality and an energy transition roadmap. One of them is through the implementation of carbon taxes and carbon trading. This emission trading is in accordance with the mandate of Government Regulation No. 46 of 2017 concerning environmental economic instruments and must be enforced no later than 7 years after the regulation is enacted, namely 10 November 2024. In preparation for the mandatory stage in 2025, then last year, the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources conducted a voluntary carbon trading trial for coal-fired power plants. The government has also issued a law on the harmonization of tax regulations, one of which regulates the carbon tax. The government will implement a carbon tax in stages in 2021 to 2025, taking into account the development of the carbon market, achievement of targets nationally determined contributions or NDC, sector readiness, and economic conditions. On April 1, 2022, the carbon tax, which is cap and tax, will begin to be limited to steam power plants or coal-fired power plants at a rate of 30,000 rupiah per ton equivalent to carbon dioxide. And listener, that's my Indonesia for today.
Sudah di kepala dua, harus mulai dari mana? Ambisiku berkecolak, antusias tak karuan, banyak mimpi-mimpi yang kan ku kejar. Lika-liku perjalanan, ku terjebak sendirian. Tumbuh dari kebaikan, bangkit dari kesalahan, berusaha pendamkan kenyataan bahwa takut tambah dewasa, takut aku kecewa, takut tak seindah. Sekuat yang ku kira, aku tetap bernafas meski sering tercekat. Aku tetap bernafas meski aku tak merasa bebas. Selanjutnya bagaimana? Aku sudah dewasa, aku sudah kecewa. Memang tak sekuat yang ku kira. Aku tetap bernafas, meski sering tercekam. Aku tetap bernafas, meski aku tak merasa bebas. Aku
RRI Service, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. Listener, Bondowoso Regency, which includes in the province of East Java, has lots of culinary to be tasted. One of them is Nasi Mamong. Rice with a shape like the tip of a cone with a height 10 cm is the dish which you have to try when you are in Bondowoso. Nasi bakar mamong is a hereditary dish. The inspiration of making nasi bakar mamong comes from a rural tradition where people would like to go away to bring supplies. It is made from hot rice, being aerated and then wrapped like cylindrical in shape with banana leaves and tied with bamboo rope, and finally it is steamed. This makes the rice not easily stale. The packaging is traditional and its attractive shape like a cone makes this nasi mamong easily to bring on a trip. The word mamong comes from the Madurese traditional language which means being confused. This is because after eating this culinary, people are guaranteed to be confused since it tastes very good. So it makes people addicted too. The way to cook this dish is quite simple. First, the washed rice is mixed with coconut milk along with herbs and spices consisting of bay leaves, lemongrass, lime leaves, cooked like cooking rice. Then the cooked rice is wrapped in banana leaves. In the past, before wrapping, in the middle of the rice was filled with cassava leaves, a simple side dish, and sambal. But now, the center of the rice is filled with more diverse side dishes, such as shredded chicken or beef, anchovies, basil, and chili. Previously, this stuffing material has been cooked so that when it is put in the rice, it has been well cooked. Then this savory rice wrapped in banana leaves is steamed for a few minutes so that the rice becomes perfectly cooked and can last for a long time. Next, the banana leaf wrapped rice is burnt until it emits a fragrant aroma. In serving, the nasi bakar mamong wrapped in banana leaves is directly placed on a plate without removing the package. When you want to eat, you have to open the pack of the banana leaf. Nasi bakar mamong, which has a blend of flavors between being savory and spicy and good aroma with burnt banana leaves, is ready to be enjoyed, plus other side dishes such as pickled cucumber, shallot sambal, and crackers to suit appetite. Well, listener, keep listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia. Listener, the depletion of fossil energy reserves on Earth makes all parties compete to produce products that replace fossil fuels. To answer this challenge, the Palm Oil Plantation Fund Management Agency, BPDPKS, and the Center for Catalysis Engineering, Bandung Institute of Technology, ITB, collaborate to find fossil fuel substitutes. The collaboration between the two institutions has succeeded in developing a pilot unit for biohydrocarbon gasoline products made from palm oil. Currently, Indonesia is one of the largest palm oil producers in the world, which produces 49 million tons of CPO per year. However, at the same time, Indonesia is also the second largest importer of gasoline in the world. Thus, the development of palm oil gasoline production technology is expected to be a solution. In this project, both institutions are trying to process CPO or crude palm oil into IVO or industrial vegetable oil, which is used as raw material for bensa. To realize the plan, a demo unit with a scale of 6 to 7 tons per hour has been built and placed in Musi Banyuasin Regency, South Sumatra. For further development, ITB is currently collaborating with PT Energy Management Indonesia in the conceptual design of a gasoline plant with a capacity of 50,000 tons per year. The unit will later be developed as a production unit that can be built independently in palm oil centers spreading across Indonesia. The bensa pilot converting EVO into gasoline must go through the cracking process developed by the ITB Catalysis Engineering Center, ITB Chemical Reaction and Catalyst Engineering Laboratory, Bioenergy and Kemurgi Engineering Study Program or Processing of Vegetable Materials into Non-Food Materials and New and Renewable Energy Sources. The convention process is carried out in a reactor using a zeolite-based catalyst developed by the ITB Catalysis Engineering Center and the Chemical Reaction and Catalyst Engineering Laboratory. To note, this gasoline from palm oil has a type of RON-105112. Thus, the product can be mixed with naphtha produced from fossil fuel to produce RON-93 bensa. And listener, that's miscellany for today.
Sekian bintang cakrawala, apa hanya kita saja yang bernyawa lahir? Kita semua tak berdaya. Lalu hidup kita mesti berupaya, dan dewasa terpaksa memikul rea. Banyak yang aku takkan tahu, yang kamu takkan juga tahu jawabannya. Sejenak berhenti bertanya, nikmati saja waktu yang kita punya, nikmati saja waktuku yang mustahil untuk ku pahammu. Tak sepenuhnya kau pun memahamiku. Tak tahu, mungkin memang nadi kita, mungkin bila semua aku paham, rasa ini tak menarik lagi. Banyak yang aku takkan tahu, yang kamu takkan juga tahu jawabannya. Sejenak
jawabannya sejenak berhenti bertanya. Nikmati saja waktu yang kita punya.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyo shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Jembatan Merah to be sung by a millennial singer, Bella Nadinda. The song, which was composed by the legendary musician Gesang, describes the story of a woman's separation from her lover who will fight on the battlefield in Surabaya, East Java. At that time, both men and women had worked together to fight against the invaders for the creation of an independent Indonesia. It is not known exactly when this song was released for the first time. This song was sung by Gesang himself. Furthermore, this single has also been included in the albums of a number of famous Indonesian keroncong singers, such as Mus Mulyadi and Sundari Sukojo. Well, listener, here is Bella Nadinda with the keroncong song entitled Jembatan Merah.
Ingat zaman berbeda.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia.
or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.